Hey everybody, welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Today's episode of Locked On Orioles is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bar. Remember, before we get started with Orioles talk today, the Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit LockedOnPodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. That's LockedOnPodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. On today's episode, we will continue to look at the 6 Orioles draft picks plus the 3 undrafted free agents that the Orioles have signed so far since the draft ended back on Thursday night. If you listened to the last episode last week on Friday, we had Phil Elson on the pod. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks baseball team. And he came on to talk about Heston Kjerstad with us. Of course, the Orioles' first-round pick, taken number 2 overall. And it was a good conversation about Heston and what he's done in his college career and why he did jump up so high into the draft. Today, we are going to be talking about the Orioles' second-round pick, the guy they took at number 39 overall in the draft on Thursday, and that is Hudson Haskin, the 20-year-old outfielder out of Tulane. Haskin, who was a draft-eligible sophomore this year, which means he only played about 1.25 seasons at Tulane before the Orioles picked him up. Now, the O's have not agreed to a signing bonus and have not officially signed Haskin yet. They have signed their 2 high school players, but have not yet gotten their 4 college guys yet. But it seems pretty evident that they will sign their contracts with guys like Kjerstad and Anthony Servideo already talking to the media, but those numbers haven't been released yet. But for Hudson Haskin out of Tulane, a fantastic freshman year with the Green Wave in 2019. In 56 games for Tulane, he hit .372 with a .459 on base, .647 slugging percentage for him. He had 19 doubles, 10 home runs, and 52 RBIs, and his strikeout-to-walk ratio was almost even, 26 walks, 29 strikeouts at the plate. In 2020, again, he only got to play in 17 games with the season getting cut short. But he did have 6 doubles, a homer, 14 RBIs, and he walked 14 times to just 10 strikeouts. He hit .333 with a .452 on base. Slugging was a little down at .500 because the home run ball was a little down for him in 2020. But again, it was only 17 games, and he would have had a lot of season to play. So it was a little surprising. A lot of people had Haskin kind of graded out as more of a maybe late second or third round pick in the draft, but the Orioles took him in the early second round. And to learn about what Haskin brings to the table, we bring on the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Andrew Allegretta. He calls the games for Tulane men's basketball, football, and Tulane baseball. And it was Allegretta's first season with Tulane in 2020, but he did get to see Haskin play all 17 games this spring. And Andrew Allegretta, the voice of Tulane, joins us to talk about Hudson Haskin. Hudson Haskin, the outfielder from Tulane, who had really just a ridiculous freshman year in 2019 and a hot start again in 2020. But he wasn't really on the radar of a lot of Orioles fans before the pick was made in the second round. So from a guy who watched him play this season, you know, what's the scouting report on Hudson Haskin?
So I think I would start with, and this sounds somewhat cliche, but I do think I would start with the character of Hudson Haskins. He's an A-plus character guy. He's a great teammate. He's low-key. He is not a loud, in-your-face type of individual. He is under the radar. He puts his head down. He goes to work. But he's very mild-mannered. He's very polite. And he's going to get along well with, I would think, just about any teammate. So that's a good check in his category right off the bat. And then secondly, he's kind of one of those guys that you could see developing into maybe not necessarily a five-tool player, but he's got a lot of tools in his tool bag. It appears that he can hit for power. We saw that last year. He's got plenty of speed. It does appear like he can hit for average, batting 372 as a freshman. It does appear that he's got good range out of the outfield, played center field quite a bit. He checks a lot of boxes, and he's very fluid as a baseball player. I happen to like those guys that you can watch that it seems somewhat effortless. And Hudson tends to make most of his motions on the baseball field pretty effortless, at least visually.
Yeah, as you mentioned last year, the 372 average, the 10 homers. This year, one home run in 17 games, but he still hit 333. The on-base percentage was at 452. Now, I know a lot of people have seen comment on the swing from what they've seen. You know, it's a little unorthodox, but it seems to work for him. And I know it's not the same thing, but just watching some highlights of him over the past few days, he almost reminds me of like a Hunter Pence up there at the plate.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted that out. I think that's an interesting comparison. I guess I would say I'm certainly not a swing doctor. I'm always intrigued when scouts get into fluidity of motion and exactly how things are supposed to look and all of that kind of stuff. I know that he produced, and I know that he was incredibly intelligent at the plate. He made his swing work for him. The amount that he studied both opposing pitchers, studied himself, that sort of diligence, I think, allowed him to be a high-quality bat for average that he is. So, you know, I'm more of a what-can-you-produce sort of guy, and for the most part, Hudson was able to produce both as a freshman and a sophomore. His numbers, you know, 17 games may have taken somewhat of a dip. I think it's worth noting that he was vaulted into the primary role for Tulane this past season. He was playing somewhat in the shadow of a future first rounder in Cody Hosey, who went to the Dodgers a season ago. So he could fly a little bit under the radar when it came to scouting reports. This season, he was put front and center for anybody that Tulane would play. And I think he had risen to the occasion. And I think he would tell you probably in those 17 games, he by no means was at his best. He was an impactful player, but I think if the season had continued, you would have seen a player that certainly could have been capable for competing for the American Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah, and you talk about that, the numbers were still good, but you know we still did see a full season of him in 2019, and those numbers were ridiculous at some points, and you have to think he could back that up again if he had another full season. But defensively for him, we know he's a good athlete in the outfield. Is he a guy who it looks like he can play all three outfield positions, or will he stick at one spot? And, you know, what's kind of the makeup of him defensively?
You know, I don't know. I guess that's probably a good question for someone within the organization of the Orioles. But off the top of my head, I would say he's got the athleticism and the speed to cover ground in center field. And I do think he's got probably the arm to handle himself, at least initially in center field, if they feel like his development, you know, doesn't take enough of a jump throughout the course of his time in whatever is left of the minor leagues these days, then maybe you throw him on one of the corners. I certainly think he's defensively strong enough to play bare minimum right field. He's not going to be someone that you need to throw in left field and hide him. He certainly has the speed to cover ground, the instincts. And I would think his arm is strong enough. Maybe if there's, and I don't want to overstep, I would hunch that if there is something that maybe you would say he needs to get a little bit better at to stick at center field, just making sure he's got the arm strength to cover ground in center field. But I would think at least center field or right field. I don't think you're going to have to hide him in left.
Now, I know it was only 17 games this year before the season got cut down. But, you know, in the American Athletic Conference, you know, he got a good amount of competition last year. And I know for you guys at Tulane this year, you know, Florida Gulf Coast and Cal State Fullerton a couple of good teams at the very beginning of the season. Was there any moments of you watching Hudson Haskin where you kind of felt like, wow, you know, that's a guy who could go in the early second round of this draft, maybe a moment that made you think of him as a future big leaguer?
You know what's funny is the answer is no. So for the background, this is my first season at Tulane. So I was not here a year ago when he was playing in the shadow of Cody Hosey. I know the numbers. I know the stats. I think what was so interesting to me is the fact that he was flexible within the batting order. There were times when he would bat first, he'd bat second, he'd bat third. So he's got that movability. But he didn't, I think that's probably what's almost unique about him. He didn't flash any overwhelming moments in the first 17 games with Tulane, but his numbers were still good and people still pitched around him and he was still impactful with how they pitched to other people in the order. So that should certainly tell you something about what he would have been capable of if the season had continued. There was no doubt that he was going to be, whether this year, next year, however it was going to shake out, he was going to be a guy that was drafted top five, top 10 rounds. And it was just going to be a matter of, you know, where, slot money, so on and so forth. And with slot money being about $2 million for this pick, I certainly think there's plenty of expectation that Hudson will be suiting up somewhere within the Orioles organization.
Hey, back to the interview in just a sec, but wanted to tell you about Built Bars. They're tasty and they're healthy. It's a protein bar, but it tastes like a candy bar. You can get it in 16 different flavors. They're all covered in chocolate, easy to eat, and good for you as well. Great for a health-conscious person. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Just 20 grams of protein in, for example, the peanut butter brownie bar, which that's the best flavor combination right there. Peanut butter brownie, you can't beat that one. Just 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. You can't beat that in a protein bar that's good for you, and it really tastes good as well. So you can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that is in the warehouse or that store happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com, a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, kind of a two-parter here, but among Tulane people, was it a surprise that he went early in the second round, or was that expected? And then, you know, was there any thought with him really only getting less than a year and a half in college ball that despite being a guy who was definitely going to be picked in the draft to potentially come back to school for another year?
I think it was totally dependent on when he got selected. I do know he's part of the Boris organization, right? So he's going to be someone that is going to go out and try to get top dollar for his skill set. Being a draft-eligible sophomore, we knew that he could get drafted. The question was, is he going to get drafted, I think, you know, fourth or fifth round? Was it going to be second or third round? I think second may have kind of grabbed some of our attention that he went in the second round opposed to the third, fourth, or fifth. But I certainly think the coaching staff had an expectation that after 2 days of the draft, Hudson Haskin was going to be picked by someone. It was just a matter of what was slot money at that particular pick. And did he think he could come back to school for another year and become a first round draft pick or a second round draft pick? It was just going to be a dollars and cents and which round did he go sort of game.
And then finally with him and the Tulane team in general, I mean, Green Wave are 15-2. when the season gets cut short. Obviously, Haskin trying to put together a season similar to his freshman one. Tulane trying to get back to the NCAA tournament and make some noise. What was that feeling around the program with such an incredible start, a 9-game winning streak when the season gets cut short? What was the feeling among Hudson and just the program in general?
Now, there's certainly a lot of disappointment. I think that was probably unanimous across college baseball, especially with Tulane, a team that was, like you said, trying to get back to the NCAA tournament. It is, for those listening that may not be totally familiar with Tulane's background playing baseball, a very proud baseball program that went to the NCAA tournament in 2001, went to the NCAA College World Series 2001 and 2005. They've been kind of a mainstay there with Rick Jones, who was the longtime head coach. And now Travis Jewett has come back in and tried to revitalize the program and put it back consistently in the NCAA tournament. And they absolutely felt like they had a team. They've had some incredible players. Jake Rogers, who is playing with the Detroit Tigers, was a Tulane Green Wave guy from a couple of years ago. Cody Hosey, first round draft pick. Hudson Haskin now. There was a lot of pieces for this team, and certainly winning a conference championship and making it to the regionals was very much within the grasp for Tulane. So there was certainly a level of disappointment, but I get the sense that Hudson Haskin is going to be gone. But after that, I think they'll bring back a lot of the pieces, especially with what they're doing in the NCAA, allowing seniors to get that extra season of eligibility back, that they can be just as competitive in 2021.
Now, Hudson was obviously the big name we wanted to talk about here. Orioles taking him with a second round pick. But another guy who you called some games of back in your time at Virginia Tech before you had headed to Tulane was J.D. Mundy, who the Orioles signed as one of their three undrafted free agents they've signed since the draft ended. Mundy, who played 2 years at Virginia Tech, 2017 to 2018, then transferred to Radford and had two fantastic seasons his last 2 years there. But what do you remember seeing, about Mundy back a couple of years ago, when I know he wasn't necessarily an everyday player for the Hokies, but was still producing?
Yeah, so just full picture on that, right? Just to be totally fair, so he's a Roanoke kid, which is just down the road from both Virginia Tech and Radford in southwestern Virginia. If you're going to transfer from Virginia Tech to Radford, that's not the world's greatest sign. It's not going to stop you from being a big league player, but obviously some of the pieces weren't connecting. I think JD appeared to be a question mark. He's a guy that had gap power. We saw him win a couple of games for Virginia Tech. There's one that comes to mind. He had an extra inning double against the Duke Blue Devils a couple of years ago that gave Virginia Tech a win in that game, a walk-off double. So he's got some gap power. He does have some power that he put on display with Radford, but where J.D. Mundy plays is a gigantic question mark. At least that was my sense from the coaching staff with Virginia Tech. He played some first base with Virginia Tech, but he's not a, overly tall guy. Does he go to the outfield, but does he have the speed or the arm strength to play there? I think his position in the field is a question mark, and can he develop maybe into a DH type of player? That sort of seems to be the player that J.D. Mundy is, but is he going to have enough of a bat to carry himself through the minor leagues if he doesn't have a real comfortable position? So I'll be curious to see how that goes for him. He's again, hard worker, good kid, all of those boxes you're going to check. It's just, whereas someone like Hudson, obviously getting drafted in the second round, he's got a ton of skills. His position makes sense. His bat appears to have projectability versus a J.D. Mundy who's got some skills, but he's got a lot of question marks in terms of where he fits on the baseball field. You can get away with a couple of things at Radford in the Big South, but those things will get exposed as you make your way through the minors.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see what these teams are doing with this giant undrafted free agent pool and the signing cap on all these guys to see, who's going to get picked up and who is not. But Andrew, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about the Orioles' second-round pick, Hudson Haskin. Of course, the O's hope he can make his way through the system and be a big league outfielder at some point. But thanks again, and hope you're staying safe.
Appreciate it, Connor. Good to talk.
So again, our thanks to Andrew Allegretta, who is the voice of the Tulane Green Wave and who was nice enough to join us here on the podcast to talk about Hudson Haskin. Really important things from that conversation. You know, maybe not a part of his game will really stick out, the top tool for Hudson Haskin. But as Andrew said, you know, he could be a four-tool, a five-tool player and could end up being a really solid big leaguer. And that's really all the Orioles can hope for. And yeah, that swing has a little bit of a hitch in it. I think the exaggeration was calling it a Hunter Pence swing. But, you know, if it works, it works. And if it gets him on base, that's all the Orioles can ask for. Also, you heard at the end there of the conversation, we talked about J.D. Mundy, the first baseman out of Radford, one of the three undrafted free agents that the Orioles have signed so far. Spent 2 years at Virginia Tech when Andrew was there a couple years ago. Then his final 2 years at Radford. At 17 games at Radford in 2020, he hit .385, .468 on base, 6 doubles, 4 homers, 19 RBIs. And then in 2019 at Radford, .304 average, .412 on base, with 17 doubles, 13 homers, and 55 RBIs. A good power hitter. As Andrew said, though, really doesn't have a position, but we'll see if that bat can move him up through the Orioles minor leagues. The other two undrafted free agent signings the Orioles took, a couple of right-handed pitchers, Ryan Watson out of Auburn and Brandon Young out of Louisiana Lafayette. Next week, we're going to take a look at those two guys as well on the podcast, but a couple of righties with really good strikeout stuff who project pretty well to be relievers at the next level that the Orioles have signed after the draft as undrafted free agents. Coming up on the podcast, we're going to continue to look at some of the Orioles' other draft picks. The compensation round pick, pick number 30 overall, Jordan Westberg, the shortstop out of Mississippi State. We'll talk about him later this week, and we'll also talk about Anthony Servideo later this week, the Orioles' third round pick, the shortstop from Ole Miss, and we'll get some talk about the two high school players they picked up as well. If you're liking this draft talk and everything we've been doing here on the pod, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you're listening right now. Give us a rating and a review as well. It really helps out the pod a lot. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Next up, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB.